Welcome to Destiny Spirit Church. This week's message is by our senior pastor, Donna Astern.
By the vineyard of the man lacking sense. And behold, it was completely overgrown with thistles. Its surface was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. When I saw, I reflected upon it. I looked and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Then your poverty will come as a robber, and your want like an armed man. It's the field of the sluggard, whose field is full of weeds. The sluggard. You know, you could have a nice field that has been really cleaned out, free of weeds. It's been producing. I mean, you could have inherited that from, you know, you could have had a nice vegetable garden and the last person who owned the house that you live in. Maybe they had a nice garden thing going on, and so, or this way, landscaping. How about, you know, some of us, we got into a new house, and man, somebody already gone the hard work of getting that nice green carpet of grass, and they went to the hard work of getting all those nice bushes and shrubbery, and it's a really nice laid out thing. But do you know, that stuff takes work to maintain. If you leave it alone, within a couple of 3 years, nobody will be able to tell there ever was any work done in that yard. Because what will happen? Within a short period of time, what's going to happen? The weed seeds are going to blow in. They're going to blow in. They're going to drop in from bird dropping or whatever. But they're going to come. And if we're not giving attention, the weeds will come in, and then they will multiply, and they will take over what used to be a very productive piece of land. And the truth is, it's the sluggard that lets this thing happen. The sluggard is the one that allows the weeds to overtake his field. And so if we are also in our lives, if we leave them unattended, if we get lazy and leave it, you know, I'm not going to really deal with that now, then our lives are not going to automatically produce good fruit. You know, it seems that there's a lot of times that we just kind of act as though all I have to do is show up for church and then all my life is going to be hunky-dory. Everything's going to be fixed and taken care of in my life. And you know what? It doesn't automatically happen. There is a place of hearing the Word of God and being a doer of the Word of God. And you come and you receive instruction in righteousness. We receive teaching and training. We get healed. We get delivered so that we can go back out there and the Word can really produce in our lives and bring some positive, lasting change. Isn't that true? Okay? That's what we're coming in for, is to get our instructions and to get what we need, get equipped so we can go back out there so the Word of God will actually produce. I love hearing testimonies of, you know, I talked to a couple of folks, and talking to one person in particular was talking to me about how that ever since they began coming to our church and began to sit under the teaching and under the ministry about how much their lives had changed. And it was because they had actually done something with the teaching, you know, actually applied it, actually believed and held on to what was taught and put it into practice. And so they begin to see positive change happen in their lives. You know, that some people, they come, they sit, it blows over them. Well, that was nice. Wonder what's next week? And there's not any application. But you see, that's not allowing the Word of God to transform us. And where we're going to see the change is when we have applied it. Because our lives are not just going to automatically produce good fruit. Come on, you're not automatically going to be patient. You're not automatically going to flow in powerful gifts of healing. You're not automatically going to be mature and long-suffering. And that's where people get in trouble too, because a challenge arises in their natural life. You know, they get laid off of work, or, you know, they have a car accident or some kind of sickness attacks, you know, one of their family or something hard happens in life, and people fall apart because they have not got their foundation laid straight. and they didn't deal with things when the Word of God has been choked out by all those cares and worries and other things, and so it's not producing. And that's where I find myself in a position of going back to, hey guys, remember the Word? Remember what we preached? You got a CD player, right? Should we go back and get that tape for you again? You got some prophecies. Remember what God said? Remember what you're supposed to do with those prophecies? It's remind, remind, remind. One time I had this several years ago, I had this, little picture of I was out there, leading this, army of people to go to war. And I turned around, they'd all dropped their weapons and were just laying there. And I'm like, get up. You have a weapon. Use it. It was like, no, we need one more class. No, folks. As a matter of fact, most of you have been coming here for quite some time. You've had enough teaching, enough training, enough deliverance, enough healing, enough freedom. You should be able to produce very well within your life. Right? I mean, you should. Just because it's been here and you've been here long enough. Okay? But our lives are only going to produce when we're not sluggards. Let's flip over to Hebrews chapter 5. Okay, so if thorns are coming up in my life, they're coming up in your life, instead of good fruit, that means we got sloppy. That means we were not being diligent about getting rid of those things. A little weed seed, bad attitude comes. You have an opportunity to get offended. You have an opportunity to get jealous and envious. You have an opportunity to believe the worst about somebody. If you don't take those thoughts captive, what's going to happen? It's going to take root. A root of bitterness will form. And then that root of bitterness is going to demand expression. And so at some point, you'll express that bitterness. And when you do, it's going to bite you in the rear. Right? It's going to wind up, you're going to be miserable because you've expressed bitterness, and now it got you rebuked, it got you fired, it got you, sat down, it got you, whatever happened. It cost you promotion, it cost you, now you've got to make repairs with your son, whatever. That bitterness was demanded expression, it got exposed, and so now you got trouble to deal with. Let's look at Hebrews 5, let's start with verse 11. Concerning him, we have much to say. It's hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. The writer of Hebrews really wants to talk about some deeper stuff. He says, it's too hard. I really want to talk y'all. Y'all want the deep teaching? He said, we don't need the new stuff. We need the deep stuff. He says, I'd love to give you the deep stuff, but it's really hard because you guys are dull of hearing. You know what dull of hearing means? It means sluggish. It means lazy. You guys are lazy. I can't teach you anything else. We have to go back to the first fruits because you guys have been lazy. You're not diligent to do the things that you've already been instructed. Okay? Then he says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he's an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about Christ, let us press on to maturity. Solid food belongs to those who are mature. Solid food is for somebody who has had enough of the milk, enough of the basics, long enough to where they are ready for something a little bit stronger. Now, folks, let me tell you, lazy people do not dig out the truth. The writer of Hebrews says, I want to tell you guys something else, but you guys, I can't even tell you anything more because you're lazy, because you're sluggards, okay? Lazy people don't want to have to work for anything. They want everything handed to them, and they don't want to have to dig out any truth for themselves. Lazy people, and I'm speaking spiritually lazy people, they like teaching that doesn't require anything of them. Teaching that makes them feel good, Just tell me how much God loves me. Just tell me how blessed I am. Talk to me about the promises. Don't require me of anything. Don't talk to me about duty or sacrifice or ministry to other people. Don't talk to me about I need to forgive and get over myself. Don't tell me the hard stuff. Folks, how are we going to grow up if all we get is the milk? You know, we got to have something more. You know what? When a child is going from milk to solid food, you know, the first thing the child is noticing is this don't taste the same. This is not what I am used to. This is not what I have come to expect. And you know what they do a lot of times? They spit it out. That's not what I'm used to. And this happens. You come to church, well, I'm used to hearing about how wonderful I am and how much God loves you and how, oh, it's awesome, awesome. Come on, prophesy to me. Lay hands on me. It's wonderful, it's wonderful. And then you're sitting there, you mean I'm lazy? You tell me I'm lazy? You calling me difficult? Let me spit that out. You tell me I have to get over myself? I don't want to hear that. Give me something that tells me something wonderful. Pastor, you must be in the flesh today. You're not walking in love. No, this is walking in love. Walking in love tells you the truth. Tells you the truth. You know what? Enemy will lie to you. Enemy will tell you, you ain't got to change a thing. Everything about you is right. They need to change, not you. How many of y'all ever heard the devil whisper that to you? I have. That's the enemy that tells you you ain't got to change. It's those people, you know. Because after all, you are perfect in every way, right? You got it all together. So, strong meat. So what happens is, you start giving the baby, you start giving them some solid food. Well, after a while, they get used to some different flavors. Oh, they like those bananas. They like those applesauce. Not too sure about the peas, however. Not too sure about the beets. And that stuff gets spit right back out. You know what you do? You scrape it off your face and put it right back in. You scrape it off and put it right back in. You scrape it off and put it right back in. And not only that, but you give it to them over and over and over again until they finally learn to swallow it. That's right. Aren't you glad? You know what? Because this is necessary. Because if you only let a child, only let a baby eat what they want to eat, they will eat bananas and milk all day long. And bananas and milk are very healthy. They are very good for you. But you need more than bananas and milk. And spiritually speaking, you need more than to hear about God's love for you. You need more than to have another prophecy about God coming through for you. You need more than that to grow up. You need to be told some hard things, some things where, guess what? Every man's way is right in his own eyes. And I know you think you're right, but you're wrong. I know you think you're right, but you're wrong. And if the Word of God is not producing your life, it's time to quit blaming me. It's trying to quit blaming God and start to look at what's growing in your field. What else is going on inside of there? See, this is the stuff that will grow us up, folks. This is taking responsibility and not blaming everybody else in the world. We live in a culture that encourages victim mentality and blame everybody else. And I got news for you. There is no country on the face of this earth that you've got as much freedom as you've got in this one. And in this country, you know, we've got a lot of whiners, don't we? Yes, we do. We got a lot of whiners. We got a lot of complainers about how hard life is and how tough and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, excuse me, but over there in Kenya this week, have y'all heard about what happened in Kenya this week? There are people getting massacred over voting stuff this week. Horrible, horrible things happening this week. I'm like, you know what? People, you know, quit complaining. We got it easy over here. We really do. Milk doesn't require anything to digest. That's why newborns, all they get is milk. Because their digestive system is still immature, and so they're not ready. If you were to give an infant upon birth, you give them something besides, you know, milk, it would be damaging, it would be harmful for them. All they need is milk. But you know what? After a period of time, they say that one reason that you know when a child is ready for solid food is when they get really interested in your plate, really interested in what you're eating, and they think, and they like to watch you eat, and they get interested. You know what? God knows when we are ready for something stronger, when we are ready for something a little bit more. And I believe that in our church, folks, it's time for solid food. I believe that we've had a season. We've been a lot of time of just, you know, ministering and lots of love and support and all that kind of stuff. We're entering into a season of solid food because we need to grow up. We need to move past some things, okay? We're expected to grow past. Notice there at verse 1 of chapter 6, let's press on to maturity. Let's press on. We need to move forward. We can't just stay here on milk forever. It's time to move forward. Solid food. In addition to having new flavors, you know, it takes a while for a baby to get accustomed to those new flavors, those new things. And so then after a while, the baby gets to where they actually like peas. They actually like beets. They actually like those things. You know, as you continue to give them, their palate becomes trained. Do you know that you can train your palate for the Word of God? You can get to where you really enjoy hearing things that challenge you. You enjoy things that make you sit up and take stock. You enjoy things that, you know, bring a little correction. You get to where you like that. You know, I do. I get to where I enjoy reading those things. I mean, it's not any pleasant when you have one of those revelations, oh my goodness, now I have something to deal with. But on the other hand, it's just really good to know that every time there is a course correction, there is an accompanying promise that goes along with it. When God corrects you, it's because He's trying to bring you forward into your destiny. There's something that needs to be adjusted so you can reach the next thing that He has for you. So solid food. So after the baby has, you know, they have this really pureed fruit and pureed vegetables, right? So, and it's a little bit thick. And then after a little while, then they start getting the chunky stuff. Well, the chunky is where the baby is learning to chew their food. And it, over a processed period of time, then the baby moves and graduates all the way up to where they're eating the same food from the table that the rest of the family is eating. And what happens is the child is learning to, you know, feed themselves, put this in their mouth, and chew and get the nutrients out. And no longer is mama having to be there with a spoon and shovel it in, but the child learns to feed themselves. Folks, we need to learn to feed ourselves with the Word of God. And when we feed ourselves with the Word of God, we need to take our spiritual vegetables and our spiritual meat and not just spend our time on something that makes us really feel, you know, yummy and happy, bananas and milk. No, it's time to get some spinach. It's time to begin to chew on some steak. Some things that maybe challenge our mindsets. You know, steak requires a lot of chewing. You got to chew on it and chew on it and chew on it and chew on it before you can swallow. But how many of you like steak? You're glad for that, right? And the same thing happens in the Word of God. There are some teachings that are hard at first to understand. But as we begin to grow and mature in the things of God, we begin to enjoy sinking our teeth into some of the depth of God's Word. Now, if you don't know how to study the Word of God, Laura has got an excellent Bible study method on how to teach people, which we're going to talk about a little later, about teaching you how to study the Word of God and really learn how to dig out rich things out of the Word of God. You know, so when we come, let's understand that we're not, to require chewing means we can't be lazy. If I just give you something ground up and stick a spoon in your mouth, all you have to do is swallow. If I give you something that has to chew, it's going to require a little bit of effort on your part, right? Those who are spiritually lazy, who are dull of hearing, don't want anything that requires any participation on their part. All right, well, let's deal with this. How about this? You know, we do teach the presence of the Lord. We teach worship. There's a time for getting quiet in God's presence. We teach about meditating upon the Scriptures, right? We teach about there are times of just sitting in God's presence and being quiet and being in a very receptive mood. And, you know, the Lord speaks to us. And we have those times of quiet, of a place of being in a receiving mode, sitting to the Lord. That is not appropriate when we are trying to have praise and worship here in church. When we are having praise and worship here in church, what is appropriate is you stand up, you lift up your hands, and you praise the Lord. That's what's appropriate, right? Yes, that's appropriate. Who's responsible for the worship service? Who's responsible for the quality of the worship service when we gather? Is it your worship leader?
Nope.
No. Who's responsible? The people who attend are responsible. The people who attend. How many people come to a worship service passive? Well, let's just see what they got going today. Maybe I'll get into it in about third song. That is sin and rebellion. Because the Bible says to come into His presence with thanksgiving. And you can't come into His presence with thanksgiving when you're sitting there with your mouth shut. Okay, this is called spiritual spinach. This is called telling you something that's really good for you. You might not like it, but it's really good for you. But I'm here to tell you that if the worship service doesn't go anywhere, it's not the fault of the worship leader necessarily. Because I've been in services with a lousy worship leader, not this one, she's great. I've been in services with a lousy worship leader, but the service took off because the heart of the people was to connect with the living God. And God showed up because the people's heart was hungry for Him. When you walk in the door, you walk in hungry for God. And if you don't walk in hungry, if you walk in half-hearted, well, I know, I just got to be there, blah, 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 do not expect the move of God. Do not expect a miracle. Do not expect God to speak to you. Don't expect anything. Why should He? Did not Jesus teach, do not cast your pearls before swine, which is to say, don't give precious things to those who will not respect them and honor them. Why should God reward us with powerful move of His glory and demonstration for people that are not interested, that don't want worship, that don't want to praise Him, that just want to sit there like a bump on a log? They don't want to engage and enter in. They don't want to press past anything. Right? Why should God? But you know what? If we will come hungry, if we will come and say, I'm going to do my part, I'm going to be someone who will praise, I'm going to bring someone who will give honor and glory to God tonight. Whether anybody else does, I will. I will praise You, Lord, in the midst of the assembly. I will lift up my hands in the midst of my brethren. That's what the psalm says. In the midst of everybody else, I will bless the Lord. Well, you know, really, why wait for the song? Why wait to see what she's going to do? This is not about what she's going to do. This is about us as members of the body of Christ coming together and giving honor and reverence where it is due. You know, honor and reverence. So we got to get out of that passive thing, folks. You know, we got to get out of it. So, well, I'm not an extrovert, you know. Get over yourself. This is not about your personality. This is about obedience to the Word of God. And the Word of God teaches us to praise and to worship Him, to give Him thanks. He is worthy. Hallelujah. You know what? It's getting past ourselves. Too much of what we have been guilty of, and I'm guilty of this as well, of preaching in America, so much of it has all been, it's all about me. You know, I get to feel this. I get to have that. God did this for me, did that for me. Me, 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 me. You know, it's not about you. It's about Him. And that's what it needs to be when we come together. You know, if you don't get one goosebump, well, you don't. Maybe God got a goosebump. Wouldn't that be awesome? Is it okay if you don't get one, if He gets one? You know, let's get past ourselves, folks. If we're going to mature, children do what they feel like doing when they feel like doing it. Those who mature do what is right. Right? It is right. It is good to bless the Lord. You know, we don't need to have another seminar on how to worship God. I mean, I could do it, but it's not necessary. You got a Bible? It says right there. singing in your hearts, making melody. It says singing to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You open up the book of Psalms. Oh, bless the Lord. I will shout. I will dance. I will give praise. All those things are instructions in the Word of God. So we don't need another seminar, do we? It's all right there in the Bible, isn't it? It's just God waiting on us to obey it. Or are we going to be spiritual sluggards and lazy and allow other things to come in and quench what God wants to do? Maybe, just maybe, God is wanting to release and do some of the things in our church, in this community that we have heard about happen all over the world. Maybe God is wanting to have some of those same things. And people are going, well, God, what are you waiting on? When are you going to do it? When are you going to do it? And maybe God's like, when are you going to worship me? When all of you going to worship me? When? When are you going to seek after me? When are you going to get hungry for me? If the shoe fits, wear it. If it doesn't, well, whatever. If it doesn't, you'll be fine, right? We got to grow past just needing milk. We got to grow past teaching that doesn't require anything from us. Look down at verse 7. For ground that drinks the rain, which often falls on it and brings forth vegetation useful to those for whose sake it's tilled, receives a blessing from God. Verse 8. But if it yields thorns and thistles, it is worthless and close to being cursed and ends up being burned. But, beloved, we are convinced of better things concerning you, the things that accompany salvation. Do you know there's some things supposed to accompany salvation? There's some stuff that's supposed to go along with it, followed with it, right? Though we are speaking in this way, verse 10, for God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward his name in having ministered and in still ministering to the saints. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. You know, immature people, lazy people, don't minister to others. They might have gone to the training, but they don't minister. You know, so many people, can I tell you how many hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people I have trained in spiritual gifts and dream interpretation? And it's really sad as how many of them actually do anything with it. It's sad. I've trained them. They know how. They know how to stir themselves up. But you know what? They can't be bothered. They can't be bothered. They've got other things in their lives they want to do. You know what? Your life is here to be a blessing to somebody else. I mean, I get phone calls at my house. Somebody tell me, I got a phone call today. I am desperate to hear from God. Please. I says, I'll put your name on the forum. I'll give your name to our team. You know, I have people, I've had dreams. I said, I'm begging God, please, somebody make sense of this thing for me. I said, I'll give it to our team. You know. But, you know, lazy people, they don't care about ministering to other people. Sluggards don't care about it because it's not about them. You see, when we do teaching and training, what happens is a lot of times people get all excited at the first. They get excited the first time because then they're prophesying for the first time. Oh, now I understand my dreams. Oh, I get to feel the anointing when I pray for people. It's all about them. And, you know, that's okay in the first stages. When people are first being trained, they get excited about those things and find out that God will use them and work with them, and it's wonderful. And they love that. Well, what happens is after a little while, the thrill's gone. It's not exciting anymore. There's no novelty attached to it anymore. It becomes work. It becomes, oh, now I have to stir myself up for somebody else. Oh, now I have to do something, you know. And so it moves into a place of inconvenience for people. We are here to help people get free. Help them get what they need from God. We're here to be a blessing. In verse 10, he talks about God's not forgetting your work and the love that you've done. You know, God's not forgetting that. You came to a class, you got some training, you extended yourself, you made yourself available. God doesn't forget that. When you minister to other people, a lot of times people don't even say thank you. They don't say thank you. They just walk away, whatever. You know, they're blessed, but they don't ever come back. They don't send an offering. They don't do anything. They're just blessed, and they just go on their little merry way. But you know what? God keeps track. God knows. God keeps score, and He knows all the work that you and I have done for other people. Even if you don't receive your rewards right here, He knows. He knows. If spiritually lazy people don't minister, so the Word of God concerning ministry is not bearing fruit in their lives. So therefore, there's no fruit coming up to give glory and honor to God. There's no fruit of changed lives. There's no fruit of people now having renewed peace, of people being set free. There's no fruit of it, you know, because somebody couldn't be bothered to minister. But it says here in verse 12 that we are not to be sluggish, but in imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. You see, sluggards are not going to inherit the promises. God's not a communist. He doesn't give out equal to everybody. Those who keep their garden pure, those who allow the Word of God to produce in their lives, can have a 30, 60, 100-fold return. Those who don't keep their garden clean, who allow every kind of bitterness to spring up, who allow every distraction to keep them off track, they're not going to have the same results in their lives. They're not going to inherit the promises. You know, it's through faith and patience that we do so. Hallelujah. You know, it takes faith to even go to the trouble to deal with your weeds. It takes faith to believe that there is a hope and a future, that it's worth it to get in there and dig it out and deal with it. It's worth it to get to the bottom of it and to overcome. You know, overcoming is something that Jesus, in the book of Revelation, He rewards the people who overcame every adversity and every challenge they had. You know, hard times come to everybody. Offenses come. Tribulation come. Jesus said it's going to come, but it's the one that overcomes. It's the one that overcomes. So folks, if I've ticked you off tonight, get over it. You just have to get over it, because I'm going to keep ticking you off until you grow up or you leave. You're either going to grow up or you'll be so uncomfortable that you'll decide, I can't do this anymore. I'm going to go to a nice, easy church where they don't make me do anything. Go back to my milk bottle. If you do, God bless you. I love you. But at some point, God will, you know, He'll deal with you. You won't be able to do that. Because you know what? You've got a destiny that must be fulfilled on the earth. There are people that God has called in you to be a blessing to. There are people that you're supposed to prophesy to. You're supposed to counsel. You're supposed to heal. You're supposed to give money to. You're supposed to encourage. You're supposed to disciple. You're supposed to get born again. There's people you're supposed to minister to. And so you've got to fulfill your call. And if that means, you know, then you've got to get healed first, then get healed first. That's why we offer all the counseling, all the healing. You heard testimony tonight. We offer this stuff so that you can be whole and you can minister to folks. And if I come up to you and if I'm confronting you by email or in person or whatever way, and I'm saying, look, you got something to deal with, don't get mad at me. Get upset with yourself and deal with it. Okay? God has given me a grace and ability. I'm able to see past people's faults. I'm able to see past your current junk. I really am. I might get really annoyed and really ticked off, but I don't write people off. I'm able to see beyond that. And some of y'all know there are people you've written off and I won't write them off yet. I can't. And even people that are no longer safe, that don't need to be in our lives or whatever, but I can still see the potential. I can still see the hope. And I know it's that because I have conversations with people. And they're all, you know, talking bad and, well, so-and-so, blah, 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 you know, and gossiping and saying bad things about a person, whatever. And I'm able to see past that. And I'm able to believe that when a person takes one step forward, they're actually making progress. You know, I'm actually encouraged by that. I'm not sitting there, well, let's see why they fall again. You know, I don't do that. It's just not how I'm wired. And God has given me a grace so that I can look at you and your current junk and your current stinking bad attitude or sin or whatever else you got going on, and I may rebuke you and whatever, but I am praying for you. And I'm praying for you to come to the knowledge of the truth. And I'm praying that you pass your test and you don't let a little thing like a confrontation or an email or something I preach keep you out. You know, I've had people, I've preached things before, and I've had people walk out the door and never saw them again. I remember one message one time several years ago that I preached, and I knew it when I preached it. There was this one man in the church, I knew I'd never see him again. And it wasn't that I was targeting him, and because I don't do that. I mean, you know, there may be things, I mean, you may think it only applies to you, but trust me, it doesn't just apply to you. I know stuff that y'all don't know I know, okay? It doesn't just apply to you, okay? But there was this one time I preached this thing, and I knew that I knew I'd never see him again. I never did. Because he couldn't deal with the word that was preached. So it's easier to get mad at me and accuse me of being, you know, whatever. Whatever works. You know, it's whatever you have to tell yourself. And it's whatever lie the devil says that you agree with. As long as it gets you out, he don't care. He don't care. Well, she's just against you. She's just trying to drive you out. Do y'all remember the story of Elijah and Elisha? You remember that he went by direction of the Lord to go anoint Elijah to be his successor. Remember that? And so he goes by word of the Lord, and he goes and he finds him out there. And so he throws his mantle on him, which in that culture they understood to mean, I'm taking you as my disciple, you know. And so he was like, you know, okay, well, first of all, I got to go home and say goodbye to all my family. He's like, So go. Fortunately, the guy decided it wasn't a good idea to go home and say goodbye to his family, and he stuck it out. And then he became his disciple, followed him for many years, and then the time came when the Lord was going to call him up in the whirlwind. Remember that story? They're walking along side by side, and Elijah tells him, you stay here. I ain't staying here. I'm going with you. You know, three times he says, you just stay here. You just stay here. Why are you trying to get rid of me? You trying to get rid of me? I've had people say, you trying to get rid of me? No, I'm trying to get rid of your flesh. I'm trying to get your demons. I'm trying to get you your wishy-washiness. It's like, make up your mind. Are you with me? Are you not with me? If you're not with me, go find something else to do. Have a nice life. I love you. God bless you. You know. But if you're with me, you're going to get another one of those emails. You'll get another one of those confrontations. You're going to get another one. And you're going to get another opportunity to get mad at me and to get offended. I love you. I do. I love you deeply, more than you know. More than you know. But I do you no favors if I don't challenge you. Anybody feel challenged yet? Anybody need another rebuke? Say, oh, that's probably enough tonight. Well, you know, I'm going to stop here because I've preached a long time. I don't know how long time. And have covered a lot of ground. But I really do want you to look at what's growing in your life right now. If we look at the evidence of your life, how many lives are being changed because you know Jesus Christ? Has anybody's life benefited because you have the Word of God inside of you? Has anybody's life improved because the fruit of the Holy Spirit has been growing? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, self-control. Has anybody else's life benefited because of that? If not, what you doing? What are you doing? We are here to give, to bring, bear much fruit. Father God is thrilled and satisfied when we bear a lot of fruit. So if there's not anything coming up, if we look at what's the fruit of your life, you know, if you were to die, you know, today and they bury you and they put on your tombstone, what's it going to say? He really worked hard. Or he was greatly loved. He gave himself for others. She was there for other people. Y'all remember the story of when Peter raised up Dorcas? Remember Dorcas when she died? Why was everybody grieving because she died? And they told her, they says, Peter, you should raise her from the dead because she has been a woman who has done a lot of good works. She has made all these garments for the poor, for the widows. I mean, she, look at what she has done. And they brought to Peter and they showed him all the stuff that Dorcas had done. What would people do if you and I died tomorrow? Would there be a crowd of people who mourned because of the good that we had done in their lives? Now we know your family loves you, they'll cry, whatever. But let's look past your family, okay? I mean, come on. Yeah, well, maybe. Well, whatever. Let's go past your family, all right? Outside of your family, if you died, would anybody cry? Would anybody beg Peter, please, raise her from the dead? She has been nothing but a blessing in my life. She has blessed not only me, but many people. You know what? I want it to be that if I were to die, there'd be just tons of people that would just be so sad because they couldn't hear me teach anymore because I wouldn't send them another email. Oh, man, I didn't get another rebuke. You know, I'd like for it to be like that. You know, I want to pray. Father, Lord, we want to be people who grow up, who get past just the milk, past just the baby food, and Lord, to where we are taking the solid meat of your word, the solid meat of even teaching, of training, of correction, of adjustment. That Lord God, that we're not those who are easily offended. We're not those who entertain the lies of the enemy, but we're those, Lord God, who take the Word of God and we allow it to produce in our lives. We take those thoughts captive. And that, Lord, that we are choosing to allow our very lives to be transformed by your word so that we'll be a blessing to other people. Lord God, I also ask, Lord, that you would just really help each one of us understand how you have given us certain abilities, certain gifts, certain talents, certain anointings, that, Lord God, that we would be good stewards of what you've provided for us. And that, Lord, that we would be not hearers only of the word, but to be doers. Father, I ask, Lord, that for those of us who've gotten kind of lazy and we have allowed a lot of thorns and weeds to come up, things have choked out the word where we thought these other things, they just took the place that the word of God needed to have within us. And And then sometimes we got offended at the word or the messenger, or we got offended at you because of how things were happening or not happening in our lives. I ask first of all that you forgive us for our arrogance and for being sluggards. But I ask you, Lord God, that you would give us the grace and the strategy and wisdom on how to clean out the trash, clean out those weeds, get rid of those things, so that we can give the proper attention to your word and that it will bear the fruit that it's designed to bear. Lord, that we'd be fruitful believers. That we'd be people, Lord God, that when you return, that we'll be able to give you a report. Lord, with what you invested in me, with the truth that you taught me, with the training I received, with the gifts you gave me, with the resources you provided, yes, I did this with it. I did that with it. I made a positive difference in somebody's life. Father, for those who are struggling with their offense towards me, Lord, I ask that by your Holy Spirit that you show them that their offense is not really with me, that you show them the root of what's going on. Where is the root and where is the enemy trying to trip them up? I ask you, Lord, that you would give us the courage to face the truth about ourselves. Father, I also just ask you to forgive all of us for every pastor, every parent, every leader whose job we made hard. I ask you to forgive us, Lord, for making them things difficult for them, causing them to have to come and adjust us and correct us and be patient one more time. I ask you to forgive us, Lord God, for not recognizing their role and their responsibility and the burden that they're carrying. Father, I also pray that as I continue to send the emails and make the phone calls and have the face-to-face meetings and pass out the CDs and pass out the books and do all those other things to help make people ready. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would enable me to be able to do so in a way that does not unnecessarily create an obstacle for a person, that does not create, you know, a ridiculous wall for them to hurdle, but that, Lord, that people will be able to receive even the ministry of adjustment and correction. And forgive me for any places where I just got exasperated or impatient or whatever and did not accurately portray your character. Father, I thank you, Lord, for these people who have such a heart to know you and such a heart to serve you and such a heart to be a blessing in the earth, a heart to be a difference in the earth. God, there's so many churches here in Hampton Roads, but they chose to come here, and they chose, we'll see how many come back next week, but they chose to come here, Lord God, because they believed that you had something here for them. And I pray, Lord God, that no one would be disappointed, that each one would find that what they needed from your word and from your spirit. Lord, I believe you want to do tremendous things in Hampton Roads with this group of people. I believe that this group of people is the skeleton of a tremendous framework of a city affecting ministry. I believe, Lord God, that what you are doing here is getting us ready for the next level of influence. So, Father, I pray over everybody that they can pass their test, that everyone passes, that no one is delayed or sideswiped or hindered by the enemy, but that each one overcomes every obstacle in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. For more information about Destiny Spirit Church or additional teaching CDs or training events, please visit our website at www.destinyspirit.com, or you can write to us at Destiny Spirit Church, P.O. Box 15252, Chesapeake, Virginia 23328. Thank you.